I'm going to ask you what may on the surface appear to be a rather dumb question, but it's never stopped me before. Why are you Christian? Why are you Catholic? Your mama? Your grandmama? Your spouse? I always have been. My people have been Catholic since before the Pope. St. Peter, our first Pope, tells us today in the second lesson that we are to always be prepared to defend the faith that is in us. Always be prepared to defend, to explain the faith that is in us. And I'm using Catholic synonymously with Christian because if you all were a group of Baptists, well, I'd be in the wrong place. No, if you all were a group of Baptists, you would explain to me your faith using Baptist language. If you all went to the Mormon church, then you would be explaining to me your faith in Mormonese. Is there such a thing? There ought to be. If there's not, Mormonese. But you're Catholics. And you're Christian. And you're going to explain to me why you're Christian using Catholic language. Yesterday, we graduated 120 students from Pope St. John the 23rd. Yay us. But not so yay. Statistically, the Catholic Church is losing 80% of its young people after high school. That's across the board, across the entire United States. 80% graduate from high school, graduate from church, and they don't go back to high school, and guess what? They're not coming back to church. This number is horrendous. We must stop this hemorrhage. Can you tell your children, your grandchildren, your godchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your spouse, your parents, your neighbors, your friends, your best friend if he happens to be Baptist, or maybe a Baptist cousin or something? Can you explain to them why you are Christian and why you are Catholic? I'm going to give you for today the top 10 reasons to be Catholic. Why? Because you got 10 fingers, okay? It could have been 12, it could have been 7. You got 10 fingers, maybe you'll remember half of them. The top 10. I'm going to start at the 10th and I'm going to the 1st. Number 10, our church is universal. We belong to a great, big, wide, wonderful, worldwide church. That's what Catholic means. It means universal. But it's worldwide. And many of you have traveled many places in the world, far more places than I have. And wherever you went, there was the Catholic Church, and there was the Mass. And you knew the faith of those people and the worship of those people. And you knew what you would receive at the altar rail. We can also use that word universal to describe our diversity, especially here at St. Cyril's, our colorfulness, if you will. For it too reminds us that we are a big, wide, wonderful church. We are all welcomed in the Catholic Church, no matter one's race, one's language, one's culture, one's country, or one's economic status. We are all welcomed. Number 9, the saints, the communion of saints, the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. The saints inspire us as Catholic Christians and connect us to the faithful who have gone before us. We don't have to reinvent the faith in every generation. For 2,000 years, we've held on to the same faith and passed it from one generation to the next. And the heroes of the faith are the saints. The saints inspire us as Catholics and connect us to the faithful who have gone before. Many of us took great interest in the recent canonizations of Pope St. John the 23rd and Pope St. John Paul II. Many of us call on beloved saints to intercede for us in times of stress. You see, death does not separate us in the body of Christ. And so, if it's been a really rough week or a really rough hour, just as I could ask my favorite aunt or a beloved grandparent, I can ask a saint to offer prayers for me in a time of trial. Number 8 is our prayers and our devotions. They're wonderful, wonderful, what we call sacramentals, if you will. Do you pray the rosary? Do you make a novena? Do you wear a scapular? Do you dip your hands in the baptismal font and remind yourself that you are baptized? Do you say grace before meals? Do you spend time in silent adoration before the Blessed Sacrament? This goes without saying. Do you receive ashes on Ash Wednesday? You ever come to the church to just pray the Stations of the Cross? Do you? Do you? Is that part of the fabric of your faith? I could go on and on and on describing our Catholic prayers and our Catholic devotionals. And yes, we've had 2,000 years to develop them, and in cultures around the world, we got more than we can say grace over. But we have tons of prayers and devotions that we can use to draw us closer to God through Christ. As Catholics, we cherish these spiritual practices that lead us closer to Almighty God. Number 7, our Catholic social teaching, our justice, and our service. We believe our faith should lead to justice and service in the world. We appreciate Catholic social teaching, which gives us a foundation for taking Christ's presence into the world. You may not specifically use the term Catholic social teaching, but you do know that we care for the poor. We respect all of human life. We call ourselves out to outreach and service We have many, many, many charitable organizations, and now, in honor of our dear friend John, wherever he may be, John Winslowitz, we have the DSF. Yeah. Which calls us to reach out beyond ourselves. We take a strong stance for the weak and the vulnerable based on the dignity of every human being as created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. Number 6, our sacred teaching, scripture, tradition. We value the strong teachings of the Catholic Church. These teachings are not arbitrary, but they're rooted firmly in scripture and in tradition. As Catholic Christians, we are formed by these strong, stable teachings. We appreciate, like the fiddler on the roof, tradition! The magisterium, the teaching of the Catholic Church, the teaching authority of the Church, the catechism. We might even read it once in a while. We embrace lifelong formation and continuous learning. We honor religious education, and many of us pay twice for our children's education, once through our property taxes and once through tuition. Not tradition, tuition. We appreciate the strong history of Catholic schools in America. Number 5. Blessed Mary, the mother of us all. We believe that when Jesus was dying on the cross, he gave his mother to John, and therefore to us, to recognize Mary as our mother in the faith. We have a deep affection for Mary, and we honor her. We don't worship her. We honor her as the very first one who presented Jesus to the world. She was the first disciple. And we believe in the communion of saints that, yes, when the going gets tough, we can ask her to intercede for us as well. We know that Jesus answered Mary's request at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And therefore, we trust that Jesus will honor her requests as well when she offers them on our behalf. Number 4, we are an apostolic church. We appreciate the 2,000-year history of our Catholic faith. The Catholic Church began when Christ handed St. Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I want to go back for just a second to this first lesson. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what he said was said by Philip. When they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many who were paralyzed or crippled were cured, and there was great joy in the city. Now, the 12, the apostles, were in Jerusalem. They heard what was happening in Samaria and how they had accepted the gospel. And so they send Peter and John, who went down there and laid hands upon them and confirmed them in the Holy Spirit. We'll come back to that in just a second. In the sacraments, we believe in the apostolic origins of our Catholic Church, their origins and their traditions. Folks, we got 2,000 years behind us, and we're just getting started unless Jesus comes back this afternoon. The Catholic Church began when Christ handed those keys to St. Peter. We know the importance of apostolic succession. The bishops, their lineage going back to Christ. I've got to tell you, I've used it 100 times. People look at me and say, now you're a Catholic priest, but you're married? Is that really okay? All I have to tell them is, well, Pope Benedict said it was okay, and Cardinal DiNardo ordained me, so if it's okay with them, and usually it becomes okay with them. Included in our very language are terms like the Pope, the papacy, the priesthood. As Catholics, we value the continuous leadership from the time of Christ all the way down to the present. By the way, we must mention in this conversation, Pope Francis has a really great reason to be a Catholic in this generation. Number three, community. Though we live in an individualistic society, Catholics appreciate our common communal faith. Community, communal, family, familial, unity describe our faith life. As Catholics, faith is more than just me and Jesus. My friends, it's Jesus and we, not Jesus and me. Jesus and me. No, Jesus and we. We're all in this together. Our community consists of all those who are baptized into the body of Christ. As Catholic Christians, we gather around the altar, around the family of God's dinner table. We know we are all in this together. Number two, the sacraments. The sacraments are the foundation of our faith. We all made it to Mass this morning, but I got to ask you, how many of you all have made it to the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, Christ's sacramental forgiveness in the confessional? If you can't remember, it's been too long. I borrowed that from Wolf Brand Chili. Padna, if you can't remember the last time you had Wolf Brand Chili, then it's been too long. If you can't remember, you know, sometimes people come in and say, well, Father, I can't actually remember the last time I was at confession. And I go, well, just say two. And they look at me, two? Yeah, it's been too long, okay? But you're here. Let's get going. We have experienced the strength and the power of God's sacramental grace. We have, as Catholic Christians, a sacramental worldview, a sacramental nature. Catholics believe God continues to be present in our world through tangible stuff like bread and wine and oil and water and laying on of hands and a voice on a Saturday morning saying, go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. And number one, the Eucharist, the Mass, the Lord's Supper, the Divine Liturgy. I don't care what you call it. You know, People ask me sometimes, Father, what would you like us to call you? Father? Father Scott? Father Blick? I don't care. Just call me for dinner. Okay? You're Catholics. I don't care what you call yourself. Just be sure you, when we call you for Mass, you come. It's our dinner together. The Eucharist is our number one reason for being Catholic Christians. We believe the Eucharist is the source and the summit of our faith. The Eucharist can be described as the real presence of Christ, the body and blood of Christ, the body and blood of Jesus, the communion, the Mass. Oh my goodness, folks. Again, we've had 2,000 years. We've come up with quite a few names. But the presence of Christ remains. We Catholics are Eucharistic Christians. We believe that a simple piece of bread and a little tiny sip of wine feeds us, forms us, strengthens us. And the last words you're going to hear from me at the close of the day was, go out there to love and serve the Lord. That bread and that sip of wine empower us to go out as the body of Christ in the world. Okay, so that's my list. What's yours? Are you ready? Are you ready as Saint Peter told you to be? To give a ready explanation to anyone who asks you for the reason for your hope, always doing it in gentleness and reverence. You're going to tell them why you're Christian. But I got a sneaking suspicion you're going to have to use a little Catholic language to do it. May God strengthen us all in our faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.